If you don't know and love the story personally, you've certainly at least heard of it. Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice has been hailed as one of the best romantic stories ever written, and it's been adapted dozens of times for both the screen and the stage. Current state producer Katie Cook has only recently discovered a love for the novel and its screen adaptations herself, and she's been busy analyzing the story's appeal. Her newfound passion came just in time for the MSU Theater Department's staged production of Pride and Prejudice at the Fairchild Theater, and she couldn't resist the urge to investigate. Here's her story.
You know the scene.
In vain I have struggled. It will not do. My feelings will not be repressed. You must allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you.
It's Mr. Darcy, played by Colin Firth, in the classic BBC adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. He's talking to Elizabeth Bennet, played by Jennifer Ely. He goes on to say,
I beg you most fervently to relieve my suffering and consent to be my wife.
And Elizabeth's reply?
From the very beginning, your manners impressed me with the fullest belief of your arrogance, your conceit, and your selfish disdain for the feelings of others. I had not known you a month before I felt you were the last man in the world whom I could ever marry.
Ouch. There are lots of other adaptations besides this one, not to mention countless references to Pride and Prejudice in pop culture, like in this movie.
But you'll never forgive me, just like Elizabeth.
Who?
Elizabeth Bennet in Pride and Prejudice. She was too proud.
Oh, I thought you hated Pride and Prejudice.
Or was she too prejudiced and Mr. Darcy is too proud? I can't remember.
That was Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan in You've Got Mail. Obviously, Pride and Prejudice is one of the most well-known and beloved stories in English literature. But somehow I had missed the boat. Of course, like most people, I was familiar enough with the basic story of Pride and Prejudice, but all I had really carried with me from high school was the proper English characters and the flowery language. Jane Austen just wasn't for me. All that changed when I saw this.
Miss Elizabeth, I have struggled in vain and I can bear it no longer. These past months have been a torment. I have fought against my better judgment, my family's expectation, the inferiority of your birth, my rank and circumstance, all these things, and I'm willing to put them aside and ask you to end my agony.
I don't understand.
I love you. Most ardently. Please do me the honor of accepting my hand.
That was Matthew McFadden playing Darcy and Keira Knightley playing Elizabeth in the 2005 Pride and Prejudice movie. That's right, it was made in 2005, and I discovered it in 2016. This movie threw me for a loop. I did not remember the story being that good. I didn't remember it being so funny, or having so much sarcasm, or such satisfyingly well-crafted insults. I immediately went out and bought the book. I spent the whole weekend reading it in a coffee shop. And then I watched all 6 episodes of the BBC adaptation. And then I found another adaptation from the 1980s, and I watched that one too. I was completely swept away. Just like probably every woman who reads and enjoys the novel, I wanted to be the sharp, witty Elizabeth. As luck would have it, the MSU Theater Department announced they were putting on a production of Pride and Prejudice. The timing was perfect. I could indulge my obsession even further by talking to them about their production. And maybe I could also get some help settling the most hotly debated topic among Pride and Prejudice fans. Which actor was the best Mr. Darcy? The first person I wanted to talk to was J.R. Sullivan. He's not with MSU Theater. He's one of the 2 authors of the Pride and Prejudice adaptation MSU is performing. I asked him how he and Joseph Hanratty had hoped to improve on the adaptations that had already been written. He said that the narrator that exists in the novel and in most adaptations actually slowed things down on the stage.
So we were determined to take a narrator out, which is not easy. You know, Jane Austen's voice as the storyteller, and it's all seen through Elizabeth Bennet's eyes, of course, which would have made her the candidate for the narrator. But we didn't want to do that because we felt it would seriously affect the dynamics of the drama. It upset the excitement of the story, frankly.
So how did they carry the story without the narrator?
Everything had to be in dialogue. The scenes had to tell the story. And for those sections of the book where Elizabeth, thinking through her encounters with Darcy, shall we say, finding a way to dramatize that into conversation, usually with her sister Jane.
I asked J.R. Sullivan what he thought was so timeless about the story. I wanted some insight as to why I had become so obsessed with it.
The thrill of the romance of it, the exquisite conclusion where the right people come together despite all circumstance, including all the problems they've created themselves for that to happen. All of this really connects with any reader and certainly with any theater audience.
Finally, I asked him who played the best Mr. Darcy.
Well, Colin Firth usually wins that one. You hear his name an awful lot, and he was certainly excellent casting at that time.
Okay, that's 1 point for Colin Firth. So I learned about the stage adaptation, but then I wanted to know more about this specific production. I went to the auditorium building on MSU's campus to talk to Dan Smith. He's assistant professor of theater studies at MSU, and he's directing the play. He told me that they're putting their own little twist on the production.
So the directorial concept for the production is that we're in a coffee shop. So the play starts in a coffee shop with a young woman who is reading Pride and Prejudice, and she is drawn into the world of the novel and becomes Elizabeth Bennet.
That sounds familiar.
The idea is that it's a contemporary spin on Pride and Prejudice. Though you still get to see period costumes, we just have a more contemporary twist on it.
In my quest to watch every adaptation of Pride and Prejudice ever made, I hadn't yet seen a stage performance. I was curious about how it would look, so I asked Dan how they portray all the different locations from the novel on the stage.
Peter Verhage, our scenic designer, has created a set using columns that are called periaktoi, which is a Greek term. They have three sides, and so there are various images on each side of them. And so with four of them, we can create 12 different looks for the set. And then he's also got four images that come in over top of that. And so there's actually quite a number of ways to make locations look different. We are using lighting to help with that as well, and media design. So we have projections of backgrounds. And there are a couple of great moments where the media designer has two locations going on at once. And so the new location sort of fades in and then kind of slides out.
Before I left, I made sure to ask Dan the Darcy question.
The best Mr. Darcy has got to be Colin Firth. I don't think that there's much competition for that. Yeah.
That's two for Colin Firth.
I'm probably going to start a little controversy, but I really think Matthew McFadden was the best Mr. Darcy for me.
Well, we've got a point from Matthew McFadden. That was Taylor Blair. She's the actress playing Elizabeth Bennet in the MSU production. Of course I had to meet her. She gets to be Elizabeth. She was living my dream.
I feel a lot of things about Elizabeth Bennet. I think for her to be such a progressive thinking woman, to be a funny woman, to be petty at times, for her to have her flaws, but she's so dimensioned. And I think that's why she's such a beloved character, because, you know, literally 200 years have gone past and you can't really find someone who doesn't like Elizabeth, because she represents almost every woman in any era that you can think of. And to be able to embody that is very, it's a privilege to do that.
And then there's Darcy, Mr. Darcy. I think what I find so appealing about Darcy is that he seems selfish and arrogant at first, but by the end of the novel, he proves that he is extremely unselfish and humble. Now, whether he went through a huge transformation or he was always unselfish is kind of up for interpretation. Curran Jacobs plays Darcy in the MSU production, and he explained why he thinks Darcy is misunderstood.
A lot of people confuse him and the person he is, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way that he was raised. You know, he was raised to be absolutely proper, no exceptions. He just had a lot of pressure to live up to his name and all that his family owns.
And the man who was playing Darcy, of course, had to weigh in on who the best Mr. Darcy is.
I personally like McFadden's version better as well. Something about the way he looked at Keira Knightley's character, that he didn't even have to say anything. It was just in his eyes that you could feel that love. And I think that his just quiet, brooding demeanor was just magnetic.
So it's a tie. We've got two for Colin Firth and two for Matthew McFadden. Just for fun, let's hear them one more time. There's Matthew McFadden.
I love you. Most ardently.
Colin Firth.
My feelings will not be repressed. You must allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you.
And let's throw MSU's Curran Jacobs into the race.
My feelings will not be repressed. You must allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you.
After hours of research and deliberation, I decided my favorite is Matthew McFadden. But if you're like me and you fall in love with the novel and all its adaptations, you'll eventually come to realize something. It doesn't matter which actor plays him, because it's not actually the Darcy actor you love. It's the Darcy character. And it's not actually Darcy. It's Jane Austen. For Current State, I'm Katie Cook.
Pride and Prejudice picks back up at the Fairchild Theater tomorrow and then runs until February 28th.